want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful to be able to gather together this morning, encourage one another. Thankful for that last song. Anyone have any announcements they'd like to make? I'd like to share before we go on. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to you. Lord, give us wisdom as we open your word. Give us light, Father, to teach, to walk in, Father. Lord, we just want to thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, I want to greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. Want to get about three or four passages here in the Old Testament that I want to basically try to encourage us with this morning. There's one in Psalm 11. Let's just turn there. We'll start there and kind of work our way back to Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The children, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. We have in the beginning of this, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In the Lord put I my trust. Later on we'll, or maybe I'll just, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 'Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go down, shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. Whenever Paul came preaching to those in Acts chapter 17, the people came to the, from the city, came and cried out and said, "Here are the men that have turned the world upside down." We've preached about that and talked about that, and the reason the people were thinking that Paul was turning the world upside down was because Paul was turning the world right side up instead of upside down. Because the world was calling good evil and evil good. The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. You want to get attacked in this world? Live upright in heart. You'll come under attack. In fact, the more upright in heart you live, the more right you try to do, the more you will be attacked. All of my life, I've been taught, and it's just an understanding, even in the songs we sing, that the closer we get to God, the sweeter it is. The more peace we have, the more joy we will have and feel. That we're just walking in sunshine. And there's blessed times of walking in sunshine. But the closest we are to the Lord is when we're farthest, when it feels like we're farthest away from Him. The world will tell us that we're to seek our own peace, we're to seek our own happiness, we're to seek a life of joy. Even in the Constitution of the United States, it says that the very beginning of it, or the preamble, one of the two, it says that God has given man the privilege of life. How's it go? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It comes from God. That is not what comes from God. Life does come from God, and the liberty to choose, but the pursuit of happiness is what gives that the twist that sets us on our own course. Life is not about our pursuit of happiness or our finding happiness. Life is about serving God and submitting ourselves to Him and obeying Him. Some of the foundations that are laid in our minds and in our hearts keep us from ever truly finding our place with God. We're so busy pursuing those things that would make us happy. We pursue our lives. We pursue what we want out of life. Whatever we build on that pursuit will crash around our ears because the foundation is all wrong. The foundation is based on us and not on God. Jesus gives the parable of the foundation, the man that built his foundation. One dug down deep and got down to the rock. The other just started building right on the sand. Had things upside down. Verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what I wanted to ask this morning. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I've come up to this question over and over and over again in my life, in my Christian life. In my life of seeking after God. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What do you do if the foundations have been destroyed? What do you do? You got to dig down deep and find the foundation that can be built upon. The foundations that are destroyed are those that have been built upon wrongly. The concepts of Christianity that we have in our mind are often where we begin to build. And if we begin to build on those foundations, we're building on something that is corrupt. If we're building on the pursuit of happiness in our life, we're building on a foundation that has been destroyed and that will not stand. One of the very principal and very first teachings of Christ, and I want to bring this around to this in a little bit, to follow Him is to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow Me. He that will find his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for My sake and the gospel shall find it. We're living in a day where we just can't go out and take the gospel. Because the majority of the gospels that are out today are built on corrupt foundations. We have to peel false foundations away, layer by layer, like you'd peel an onion. It's got to be peeled back one layer at a time. And I don't know how many times I've felt like I've just had to start over with being a Christian, because I found out that some onion peel somewhere that I'd built something on was nothing more than just another peel of the onion that was built on a false salvation or built on a false concept of God, and had to start all over again. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? They can get a shovel and start digging. Start peeling back that onion. We base so much of our Christianity on what it can do for us. We base so much of our ideas and our Christianity on how this is going to help my life. We've got to dig past all of that. I think that's one of the reasons that there's so many atheists in the world. There's a lot of people that just cannot believe in God, or they cannot trust Jesus, because they've seen so many false things that just do not agree and do not line up with truth in their lives. And to be honest with themselves, they have to just turn away from that which they see is completely dishonest. And so many people have gone away from Christianity, from being a Christian, because all that they've ever saw of it disagreed, just screamed out against their conscience that there's something wrong here. And instead of peeling the onion or digging the rubbish away or getting down to the truth themselves and searching and looking, it's just much easier just to turn away and say, well, there's nothing to that. Soon as someone fails, soon as someone doesn't live up to their expectations, soon as they find a fault in someone else, it just gives them such a encouragement just to throw it all away. Soon as they see a failure in themselves, they give up. They say, well, this won't work. And so they just throw it away. And all they were looking for was an excuse so that they didn't have to do it themselves. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to walk through some dark, dark, dark times in this world. Satan's got his bow aimed at you, and you're going to feel all his fury and all his wrath, and you're going to be like Jesus when he was on the cross and he was hanging there all by himself. And he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus went through that very trial. At his darkest hour, the darkest hour in his life, he felt like God had forsaken him. All around the world, all around, everyone that was supposedly living holy was living these happy, joyous lives and having no trouble and just seemed like they floated above everything. But if we look at the life of our Lord, He was a man of sorrows, burdened, carrying around grief. His only delight was doing the will of God. And when He got hanging on the cross there, Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? We know the Lord didn't forsake Him, but that's the way He felt. And God was right there with Him. Whenever the devil comes attacking and this world comes attacking, we're going through it. He didn't talk about suffering because it was something that was gay and happy that we would be going through. When Jesus talked about suffering, He was talking about suffering. And when you start living a righteous life, you're going to come under attack. Those seven sons that went about to cast out the demon, seven sons of Sceva, I think, they went about to cast out this demon, this man possessed. And they said in the name of Jesus that Paul's talking about, and the demon cried out and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" You want to follow the Lord? The devil's going to get your contact information. The devil's going to find out your identity. The devil's going to get your phone number. The devil's going to find your address. And he's going to come knocking. One thing just recently observed, a couple of years ago maybe, when Jesus was in the desert, He'd been fasting 40 days. You know, we think about fasting. This is just another way things get turned upside down. We think people that fast draw nearer to God. And they just get on a mountaintop high because they're fasting. And they're going to just draw nearer and nearer to God. But who appeared to Jesus after He had fasted 40 days? It was the devil that came and appeared to Him. He found Him at His weakest hour. He hadn't eaten in 40 days, and the Bible said, and He hungered. And who do you think comes strolling along, offering Him ideas about how to get a piece of bread? Satan. Things are upside down. Jesus never promised us a good time or an easy time. He said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." And if you're going to walk with the Lord, you just as well set your heart on pleasing the Lord and forget about yourself. Because as long as you got yourself involved, you're going to have nothing but heartaches and trouble added on top of everything else. If you can get on the Lord's side and know that you're going to have trouble, you can make it through. But if you try to drag yourself and fight the devil, you will not make it. Because yourself won't survive that battle to walk with the Lord. Walking with the Lord is losing your life in this world. And there's so many people today that are living defeated. Christian lives because they built on a wrong foundation. The very foundation that they tried to build their life on was trying to lift themselves up to be with Jesus instead of throwing themselves overboard, throwing their lives overboard and clinging to the Lord. Picked up a book a few years ago by St. John of the Cross. Now, I've never read the book. I don't know if I've even cracked the covers of the thing. But I read the title and I bought the book just because of the title. And it's called The Dark Night of the Soul. As soon as I read it, I knew that man knew something. As soon as I saw that title, I felt a kinship with that man because I knew what he was talking about. The dark night of the soul. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to walk with the Lord and you're going to walk in the light, the true light, you're going to learn what it means. The dark night of the soul. Because you're going to have to go through that valley of the shadow of death. The dark night of the soul. And there's nobody that can go through it with you. You have to determine to walk it yourself. And you're going to have to walk it yourself. We can have fellowship one with another. And that's a glorious thing. But when it comes to you just walking through this life, it's almost like your friends can't help you. Though they would, if they could, they cannot do it for you. You have to do it. You have to walk through it. You have to go through the times when nobody understands you. If you're trying to drag yourself through that, you won't make it. One of you's got to go. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. He sees, and His eyelids try the children of men. He's putting you through this dark night of the soul to prove you. to prove if he takes away all the feelings, all the fun, all the excitement, all the hope, all the light, everything. Takes away every incentive you have of wanting Him to see if you still want Him. Heaven is for the righteous. Heaven is for the holy. I believe that when you get to heaven, you're still going to have your free will. So He's going to prove you whether you want to be there or not. He's going to take all those things away from you, reduce you to nothing but ashes. Reduce everything in your life to nothing. And when those ashes cry out, I still want to follow Jesus, and you're willing to lay there in that pile of ashes until He raises you from the dead. The problem is we call good evil and evil good. We call something like that going through those dark valleys. Well, you must have left the Lord somewhere. You're supposed to be happy. Don't you know that? You're supposed to just never see any clouds. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The eyes of the Lord are searching everyone, beholding the evil and the good. He's searching for someone to whom He can depend. Verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous. The Lord trieth the righteous. He's going to put you through it. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The Lord trieth the righteous. He's going to prove you and test you and put you through all kinds of problems because He loves you. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. This world says if you reprove them, you hate me. You're full of hate. Your message is so full of hatred. We call them good evil and evil good. Whenever someone can't see that a reproof is a blessing from God, you've missed the whole picture. A reproof, a trying, a putting you through the test, a letting you go through the fire all by yourself to see how you're going to come out, is love. Someone pampering you and coddling you and wanting just to comfort you in every little thing that you do. Is hatred. People don't know the first thing about God. the first step that God does to reach out to man, loving him who first loved me, we just sang about. Loving him who first loved me. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. The first iota of God's love reaching down to you is a reproof. Is to show you where you're wrong so that He can try you. That's why men hate the message. God is trying to get down to a foundation that's right. And that foundation starts with God by reproving you from where you're wrong. He's not trying to constrain you. He's trying to show you where you're wrong. Might not have all the answers just laid out in front of you. You start peeling the onion and finding what won't work and what will. You start clearing. In Nehemiah, we was going to go there where they started to rebuild the wall. They started to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah chapter 4. Verse 7, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." What happened whenever they began to rebuild? The devil got wind of it and it made him mad. And he started to fight against them. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. And set a watch against them day and night because of them. Think you're just going to rest when you follow the Lord? You're going to have to set up a watch day and night. We're drawn near to the end of this world. We're drawn near to the end of our battle. This world's coming to a close. The devil knows his time is running out. How much more is he going to attack the little bit of light that might be left in this world? Jesus even said in his prayer, "Lord," or whenever he was talking to his disciples, "will I even find faith on the earth when I return?" He talked about those that were saved. He said, if it wasn't for God shortening that time, the elect themselves would be deceived. The foundations are destroyed. There's nothing to build on here. Going through the fire is bad. The deceptions that we face. They call them evil instead of good. Day and night. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. The strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. All these doctrines that we think we have to build on, they're wobbly. There's nothing to build on here. And besides that, there's a bunch of junk here. There's a bunch of rubbish that we're going to have to clear out so that we were not able to build the wall. What do you do when the foundations are destroyed? What do you do when the burden bearers are weak? What do you do when there's a bunch of garbage around, a bunch of rubbish? You got to start cleaning up a little at a time. There's not much to build on. Everything's been weakened. If you want to get down to the foundation, you're going to have to peel past a bunch of stuff. You're going to have to make several layers of garbage to get down to it. You're going to have to want to get there. You're going to have to want to see those walls rebuilt. And it's going to get dark. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The enemy is going to be right there trying to cause you to cease the work. Back to Psalms, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The Lord is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Him that loveth violence, his soul hates. I don't know how many people have come up and told me God doesn't hate anything. God is love. Black is white, and white is black. Good is evil, and evil is good. Sweet is bitter, and bitter is sweet. And God don't hate anything. I'm going to tell you He does. And upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. And this shall be the portion of their cup. for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. You're not going to see the Lord until you're through with this life. You're not going to be rewarded till you've passed through this life. Build on the righteous foundations. We've been taught the gospel so upside down. Built on so many false foundations. Getting our theology straight. Accepting Jesus into your heart. Having an experience. Getting delivered from something bad. Look at what Jesus began to work with. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right there. So often people put the idea on the outward form. And they've built foundations on the outward form. And I'm talking about plain. Evangelicals have built it on thin air out of nothing. False doctrine. But then the so-called righteous come along and they're building it on forms that produce a holiness that is wickedness. Well, that didn't sound right, did it? They produce a holiness that becomes up here. They're saving themselves because they're not doing what those are doing down there. They've got all the rules in order. They've got all the ideas. They've got a grasp on those things. But look where Jesus started. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Get these things in order. Humble yourself. You're going to learn sadness and grief. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Learn to take instructions humbly. Not rebelliously. Learn to be content with instructions. Whether they are going to make you happy or not. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here's the foundations to build on. Then you can add your holy things along and they'll stand. You get that other upside down and it won't work. You'll be proud that you're religious and you're not doing like the bad people are doing. get the foundation right. Get down to it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Work on these foundations. Even whenever you don't feel like it, keep pressing on. He that endures to the end shall be saved. I think we're headed into a dark time. Timothy talks about perilous times. Paul talked about perilous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves, proud, disobedient to their parents, boasters. It's only those who are going to lose everything they've got. They're going to question everything around them. They're going to be in their hearts crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They're going to be tried with fire. And as I look back through history of real Christianity, the martyrs, that's what they went through. People talk about, you know, they sing a song about Paul, first night laying in the jail cell, and he's singing and rejoicing about midnight. That's a blessing to be able to rejoice when we're suffering. I've heard about people who've been in dungeons and jail cells and read stories about them being tortured for months and years at a time, laying in a dungeon until all their clothes rotted off and there wasn't nothing left but the collar that went around their neck or their shirt. And they still wouldn't deny the Lord. They didn't know where He was. But they weren't concerned about their own happiness. If they'd have focused on their own happiness, they'd have gave up a long time ago. You're going to have to buckle down. We're going through some tests. And you're going to go through them. You're going to see people that ought to be stepping up, and you think they ought to be doing this for you. You think somebody's doing that, shouldn't be doing this or shouldn't be doing that. You do what you're supposed to do. People are going to fail you. When they do, you better be right there to forgive them. Or you're next. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Father, we thank You, God, for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us, Lord, just to see some things, Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray, to dig down, get to that which is precious, Father. Lord, help us look past these little trials that we go through, Father. Lord, help us lay ourselves down, Father. Help us get down to the very fundamentals of following Jesus. Help us to see ways that we can be servants. Help us to be faithful. Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Praise the Lord. This was a message of encouragement. If you saw nothing but gloom in it, you need to dig a little deeper. Bless you all. Make sure you greet the sisters from way off here before you, everybody come around and say hello to them. God bless you all. So, you're a blessing. Lord willing, next weekend, we're going to be in Mexico. Pray for Damien. Going against his wife, going against his friends, his job, everything to be baptized. So may the Lord bless him as he begins his walk of death in this world.